First time I met Brother Ricky Dunsford was 27 years ago. He had come to speak to chapel when we had the academy over there in the other building. And I remember being on the edge of my seat as I listened to Brother Ricky. I tell you, he was full of zeal and was preaching the Word of God, and he just thrilled my soul and has done so through the years. And the Lord has used him in a mighty way. He's vice president of Rock of Ages Ministries up in Cleveland, Tennessee. His plate is full. He has traveled all around the world, establishing ministries in prisons, church planting, all types of different works that the Rock of Ages is now involved with. And we're so glad that he's able to be with us today and share what the Lord's burdened his heart with. So would you come, Brother Ricky?
Thank you, Brother Todd. I do appreciate it this morning. It's been a long time, 27 years. Talks about it's full of zeal. I'm still full of zeal, just don't move as good as I used to. Now, I was preaching Wednesday night, and I didn't know what happened, but I got in one of those ways, and I was preaching a message on giving, of all things, and I got overwhelmed on a passage that I read about the grace of God. And then I got all beside myself. And before I knew it, I had stepped back, done a 360 spin through both arms like this. And it dawned on me, hey man, you're dancing. And so maybe I won't do that today. And I didn't even realize what I did till my daughter-in-law was sitting there and started smiling at me. Well, I don't know nothing about dancing. So I told him, I said, I think I just broke dance. So my daughter-in-law told me after church, she said, Dad, it's break dancing. It's not broke. I said, trust me, at my age, something broke up there. And so that's all right. I want you to take your Bibles today. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. I want to do something a little different. It is absolutely impossible for me to teach without preaching, but I just jotted down and typed up some things yesterday that I want to share with you, and then do something and take a little bit of time, tell you where we're headed as a ministry. Things are not slowing down at all. Things are pressing forward, and we praise the Lord for that. So many opportunities. So many opportunities. And I'm hoping that you will do this for Judy and I and the Rock of Ages as I finish up this morning. If you would do one thing, would you put it down in your prayer journal, put it down in your prayer thoughts, and pray with us as a ministry? I know I just received the update, and I'm sorry for being slow about getting our prayer request. I'll try to get that this week to the church and Mirches as well. But one of my major prayer needs is that we do what our Lord said. And that is, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest would send forth laborers. Our opportunities are so great. The world has opened its doors. I just received a contact from Sweden asking, would you come over and share your ministry? It was two deputy sheriffs. We do a work in Rhode Island. Pray for Rhode Island. Pray for the New England states. For the first time in the history of our ministry, revival has broke out in the prisons. Literally, I went up to Rhode Island to preach with the men in that prison, and I've been to New Jersey and stuff 20-something years ago in the prisons. I've never been cussed so bad, spilled so bad. It was a tough area. But God, over these years of faithfulness, have cracked open a door. And we're now working in New Hampshire prisons. We're working in Maine. We're working in Connecticut. We're working in Rhode Island. And Rhode Island has broken out in revival. You go in and they'll ask the inmates, do you want to come? Well, Todd, you can't get them in this room. And just one group after another, after another, after another. I never have. I preached a message, and I opened up after the invitation. I opened up for questions and just never got so many questions from the floor by the prisoners. And this is happening around the world. Well, in Rhode Island, there were two wardens from Sweden in the services. They had come to visit the prison. And they said, we like what you guys are doing. We don't have anything like this. Would you come? Well, a door is open in Norway. And a door is opened up in Taiwan. And all over the world, we have at least six African countries that are open to us now. I get letters, I get calls all the time. And we just need help. We just need God to send some missionaries and lead us to the right national people, the right national pastors to assist us overseas. And then that He would raise up more help in the New England states. We do have one man raising support that will be moving to the New Hampshire area. Brother Peter Chamberlain, with our ministry for years, has gone up there and has planted a church in Concord and is working there. And we're working through him to reach the prisoners. Peter and his wife are working with the women inmates in New Hampshire, the male, and Peter's the one overseeing the work in Rhode Island. As the church grows, and it's growing pretty quickly, we'll need more help to take over those works. So would you help us pray in your prayers? We'd appreciate that. If you found your place in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, in verse number 9, the Bible says, for a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. I just wrote down and typed up on, as I was typing the other day, I just typed at the top, the great door. The great door. I guess it was 1991, the latter part of that year, we had begun our international work in the country of Romania. And in May of that year, I went back to work with some officials and tried to see what our parameters were and what we could do. And we had staying with a fella. He was a deacon at the First Baptist Church in Bucharest. And he's the only guy that we could find spoke English, and he would help us. We were staying in his home. He lived in an apartment. And when you went, you had to come in, and it was all blocked off, and police officers and military men lining, because his name was Telfield. And Telfield lived down a sidewalk, and then you turned into the building, went to the second floor apartment. And he was right across the street from the Romanian Secret Service. So there were guards everywhere and officers everywhere and barricaded parking lot. And we get out at the highway, and there were four of us American men. We were lugging two pieces of luggage apiece down their street, down the sidewalk, right across from the Secret Service, up those stairs, and they put us in, put us back in a back bedroom, all of us guys. And all of a sudden, a knock on the door came. And Telfield said, don't say anything. Be quiet. Please be quiet. It's the Secret Service. And they came, and they were interrogating him in the kitchen, wanting to know what us Americans were doing there, asking all kind of questions. Well, naturally, my second time outside of this country, except for when my dad was military, as an adult, my second time, I'm in a former communist country. Revolution had only been 2.5 years, and the country was still unstable, and we had no clue what was about to happen. I really felt, and so did the three guys with me, that this thing of prison ministry was going to be more of a reality than we ever anticipated. So I'm over in the corner. These guys are over in the corner. They decided they'd pray. So one in this corner, that corner, that corner, they're praying. I'm too nervous to pray. Y'all pray for me. I'm trying to figure out how we're going to get out of here. Well, they're praying. I open my Bible. And I do say, Lord, you're going to have to help us. And the Lord took me that day to this verse. And He said, by way of the Holy Spirit. For there is a great door, and effectual, opened unto me. I thought, wow. I thought about this passage of Scripture and how the Lord said that. And Brother Todd, I look back now, and I'm absolutely amazed. You have to understand, I grew up in Century, Florida, on a red clay road with 8 of us in a 12 by 60 mobile home. I had 3 brothers. We all shared a 10 by 8 bedroom. That's not much bigger than a death row cell. All 4 of us boys. My daddy worked 2 jobs to try to give us the best, make sure we got an education. We didn't have a lot. I mean, honestly, you just have to understand the way it was. You didn't have anything. By the time you got to the summer, you had holes this big in your Sears and Roebuck tough skin jeans. So mama just cut them off. And that's what you did, barefooted and cut off all summer. That's just the way it was. You didn't have much. And honestly, I never would have dreamed that the God of heaven would reach down below some little live oak trees on a red clay road off of Elsie Davis Road in Century, Florida, where population was 50 people in that area, and find a little old country boy and decide he'd use him for his glory. And it dawned on me that day, Lord, long before I ever thought, long before I ever knew, you had a purpose for me. And you had already begun to open a door in my life. And I look back. The first time I was invited here, and Dr. Hobbs asked me to speak, and I was amazed. Who would ever want me to stand and speak? And now the Lord's been so good to me. I've preached in 40 different countries. I've been on 5 continents. I've been all over the United States, and God's been very, very good. And I just think how great the Lord has been, and how great a door He has opened unto me. You said this morning twice about the gospel. And I never get over that. If it were not for the gospel, I wouldn't be standing here. If it were not for the gospel, I would not have been around this world and not made friends all over this globe. There's not a day goes by that from somewhere in the world I don't get an email that simply says, Brother Ricky, we prayed for you today. We prayed for you. I remember flying back from Amsterdam with a preacher friend of mine one time, and it was a simple thing, but it overwhelmed me. He looked at me and he said, Brother Ricky, have you ever thought about the number of people that pray for you around this world every day? Still didn't click with me. Then he just stared and he said, wow, to think that every day around the throne of glory, around the multitude of the saints that are waiting us there, your name is called out in glory because someone, now I want to dance, hallelujah, because someone has mentioned you and your name has rung through the portals of glory because someone has prayed for you. You want to talk about a great open door? If I never got to preach again, if I never got to travel again, just knowing that there's a door that was open and people are praying for me and Judy and heaven hears our name. Well, I'm overwhelmed. You say, you're stretching a little, but, well, let me stretch. Just the way it is. I thought about this great door, and I began to look in the Bible the number of times. 239 times in our Bible is a door mentioned. 239, if my computer told me right. If there's more, cuss Mac and Apple, not me. 239 times in our Bible is a door mentioned. I figured, you know, if God thought it necessary to mention either figuratively or allegorically or literally a door, then it must be an important thought for you and I to consider. I did some research. It's hard to do research on a door. There's not even people on that Wikitikia or whatever that thing is. What's that place you look up stuff? Anyway, they don't even care about a door. If you really think about it, who'd want to study about a door? Pretty boring, isn't it? But I did find out there is a museum for doors. They need to come get mine. It's getting pretty rough. About a door, but I thought it quite interesting. You know, how many people are drawn? Now, I used to be a contractor and did some contracting years ago, and both my brothers and Judy's brother, who is a contractor for a very large firm, he builds these skyscrapers and all this stuff, and they build things, and they're in that kind of thing. And I was always told by them and builders that there's pretty much three areas when you're building, especially in subdivisions, three areas that help sell a home. Three areas. One is the kitchen. Two is the bathrooms. And three is the front door. Something about when that person walks up to that front door that is very important in selling them on that door. I thought about this matter of a great door is open unto me. A great door. Whether we interpret great to be massive or large or glorious, I believe it can encompass all of it. But I believe today that whatever we, and however the Lord may use that in our life, we have a great door open unto us. Boy, our world is in chaos. I mean, it's so obvious that if you look at today's time, now I've been one of those skeptics in the past about certain things lining up with prophecy. Because I've always said, well, it's just not there yet. But if I've ever been convinced in history that we are closer than we've ever been, and that the opportunity and possibilities are here for the fulfillment of prophecy. Now, don't misunderstand me. I believe in the imminent return of Christ. I believe we all don't really quite get it. It's been left in the hand of the Father. And He might just get us all out of here today, and that'd be all right with Ricky. But if we follow prophecy and we read our Bible, we know that things are getting really close. Never before in history has the ability to police a world come about. This thing in France, we say every time something happened, the Lord's coming back because we panic. But using common sense now, there's a move worldwide to create a universal police department, stage one. How are you going to vet these people coming in our country or any other country? You've got to have a world database. What are they arguing? There's no data. There's no data. There's no data. So we need a world database. That's what's coming. So I say all these things. As you look at it, we have a great door of opportunity open to us in this world. And if ever we need to be more diligent in spreading the gospel around this globe, we need to do so now. If ever we need to be more diligent in praying that God would send forth laborers into His harvest, now's the time. Now, I'm going to do something a little different because I brought some letters. One of my greatest joys as a vice president, I literally read 200 to 300 letters a month from just missionaries. Doesn't include all my attacks, I get, but just the good stuff, and I love it. And I thought I want to just take and show you some kind of people that God has given to our ministry and what God's doing in their ministries and through the Rock of Ages. And I want to give you that in just a few minutes, just some places, and so you can help us better pray. about some things. I'll skip this introduction stuff. I thought about this. If a door is mentioned 239 times in the Bible, I watched this. The first time it's mentioned, Cain was told, sin lieth at the door. Now, can I tell you that we see that at the door was sin? The next time we see Noah was to put a door in the ark. I put beside the first one, sin. First door. But then I put beside the second door, grace. See, when that door was closed up, grace would have to open the door. And it was a new era and a new promise and a new opportunity. And that was a great door to be opened. Next time we see it, Abraham was sitting at a door of his tent, the Bible said. When three men come up and said, Abraham, you're going to have a son. Can I tell you, based in that son, on down the line would come the Messiah, would come the one that we born in Bethlehem. And it would begin the journey where you and I and all that would believe in Him might have eternity in Him. He who knew no sin took upon Himself sin, and He saved this old wretched sinner who was unrighteous and made me a new creature simply because one day God opened up a door of eternal life for all that would come to Him. Next significant time we see the door is when the blood was applied to the door. I'll just give them to you. You'll see where we're headed. Then Jesus even said this, something significant about this door. Jesus said, now when you pray, I want you to enter into your closet. And after you close the door, then business picks up. Then at the close of the day, at the end of time, Jesus said, so likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door. You see, we have a great door open today, but the doors one day are going to close. There's coming that day that the final door will close. And no person will be entered to enter in. We'll all stand before the great white throne of judgment, some on this side already judged at Calvary, and some at this side for eternal damnation. You and I must take advantage of an effectual, working, great door before that door of opportunity is forever closed. John said, Jesus teaching that He is the only way into the sheepfold, and He called Himself the door. Can I tell you, the last time in our Bible we'll see this door mentioned is in Revelation chapter 4. And after this, after what we believe to be described in the first three chapters of Revelation as the church age. And after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show you these things which must come here. Well, one day there's going to be a door opened in heaven. You and I are out of here if you know Christ as your Savior. We're out of here. Can I tell you, it'll be a door that no man shut. When we go through that door, we're on the other side. Can I tell you? Now see, let me give you this. There was, when Judy and I were kids, not 1940, but we were still of that era, that when we went to bed at night, not only did we not lock the door, but we just latched the screen door. And that was just to keep the possums out. And that's the only reason you latched it. And you left your keys in the car all night long, or left the windows down if it wasn't going to rain. This nation was a much, much, much calmer place several years when just we were little kids. But now, we lock the house door. We lock, you know, Judy and I are getting that age now. We get out of the vehicle and lock it. And we're going in Walmart. And then she'll wait till we get about 25 yards away and she'll say, did you lock that door? Well, I know I did. But now I don't trust myself. So I walk all the way back. And they got you, you know, we got one of those clickers, and it went bad. And for $200-something replacement, it's staying bad. I'm feeble, but I can still mash that button and close lock them doors. Now, there was a time we didn't care if the door was locked or not. Can I tell you, there is coming a day God will lock that door. And I wonder if we've taken advantage for the great door of opportunity that God has opened to us. I know it's a little scattered this morning, and I'll try to preach better the next hour. But my desire is that we see this door. And there's not a person who is a born-again believer that cannot diligently pray. God would send labor, that these doors would remain open. We can quickly and successfully step through them and do a work for the glory of God. Can I give you these today? I know you're praying people, but and you invest so much in Judy and I and in our work. And one of the areas I'm privileged to work with are these various families. And one particular gentleman, and these are the folks that are trying to get the job done. We have a Prisoner's Bible Institute. Any given month, 23 to 25,000 students study the Word of God, now in over 15 languages. And we don't charge the prisoner, not one penny. Postage just in America alone runs $85,000 a year. God's been so good. We give a Bible, one of our Rock of Ages study Bibles, to every prisoner that completes all the courses. And God's been good. The man that founded this, as I was starting the international work in 1991, the Prisoner's Bible Institute would start that same year. And it's a great, he pastored for years and been with our ministry now for several years, up in his 70s. His wife, been confined to a wheelchair for several years. He has to come and pick her up and bathe her, and they don't have anybody else, but he continues on with this. And every week, letter after letter after letter, and this was one of the letters that he gave and it put in his newsletter. He said, the following is from an inmate in the detention center. But as of October 22, 2014, while being locked up at the detention center, I accepted Christ into my life. I haven't been the same since. All the cussing I always found myself doing, and all the thoughts of sex and alcohol and drugs, the Lord has washed away my spirit. I know now that I'm in prison because of my old sin life. God had to sit me still, make me be still. I thank Him so much for keeping me safe from hurt and harm. I just want to thank Him, for God is so good. Boy, that's just what these lessons did in the life of one young man. This lady here, Miss Mickey, and her husband, mine just went blank, Paul, they're well up in their mid-60s, and they quit everything several years ago, moved out to Texas. And Miss Mickey works as a ladies' chaplain. Paul works in the juvenile facilities, done that for years. But I like this because Miss Mickey writes, about a year and a half ago, I went to see an offender whose name is actually Light, but who was definitely in darkness. She had attempted suicide and was almost successful. I talked to her about her pain, her sorrow, her soul, but because of her religion, she felt she was right with God and did not want to give up her sinful life. But this summer, the inmate in the cell next to her did commit suicide, and Light came to see me several times, but there was still no conviction of sin in her life. But this week, Paul, that's Mickey's husband, was holding a service in one of the areas of the prison, and she came. She really wasn't supposed to be in that service, but had managed to come anyway. When Paul gave the invitation, she came forward. I took her aside and began to deal with her. This time there was conviction of sin and a real desire to change. She confessed her sins to God and asked Him to forgive her and change her. Light met the light that night. Hallelujah. God's divine appointment. Pray for her that she will grow and that her family will see the difference. Brother Paul was in a bad accident about 3.5 years ago. Crushed all his ribs, crushed his hips, put him in a cast from the neck to the hip. After 2 weeks, he said, "Doc, the boys are waiting on me in that prison. Doc, you got to give me permission to go in that prison. You have to." The doctor, against his own will, wrote Paul permission slip. And he had the greatest attendance in his services that he's had in the over 15 years that he's been preaching to those juveniles. I just want you to know there's a great door open, and we need laborers. One of the greatest guys, he's in heaven now, loved children, worked with children for years and years, and God called him to work in the juvenile branch of our ministry. He began to get Alzheimer's. He passed away. And his wife came to us and said, "I know my husband's gone now, but I don't want to leave Rock of Ages. I want to do something for God." Well up in her 70s now, lives close to our home office. And she writes this week, just a widow lady, "I'm thankful to God that I can still serve with Rock of Ages Ministries. I count it a privilege to go to Cleveland, Tennessee and help put the Bible studies together that we sent to the prisoners. There's just a few of many, many comments we get. And these are some she listed as she, this dear saint of God, gets to put lessons together and read the letters and help answer some of the prisoners." She says, one writes, "Thank you for sending me God's Word to be a light in the darkest time of my life. I would have given up a long time ago if it were not for the lessons you all sent me. Because of these lessons, I know now that I know that I can make it when I leave this place. Because of what I've learned from these lessons, I have been able to witness to my family. Thank you for caring for me and others that incarcerated and sending God's Word. Thank you for giving me hope when I thought there was none. Thank you for sacrificing for me with these lessons." This person has no clue that this dear widow lady on a fixed income, who can't drive at night because she can't see well, drives up to our office, goes back into one of the offices, and sits down and puts these lessons together and staples them and answers the letters. They have no clue. A great door, effectual, has been opened unto me. Well, I'll go past this one here. I do want you to see this one more, to give you an idea of what God is doing by the way of your giving and support and prayers. One of our missionaries in Alaska writes, "I've been talking with a young man for about 6 months, answering questions he had about God." You notice we do careful work. Notice we do that. We have revivals, but we always follow them up with several meetings after. A lot of folks come to our revival services. We get a lot of professions of faith, but we follow up. We, over 5,000 men that studied the Prisoner's Bible Institute, come back and said, "You know, I didn't repent. I didn't know this was right. But now I know through studying the Word of God." But the men try to do careful work. 6 months, he asked about creation, sin, redemption, and other areas of concern. He was a Muslim. One day as we were talking, he said he had been praying that Allah would show Himself if He was real. And we know that the true and living God wants to show Himself strong in our lives. So I prayed with him that the true God would make Himself known. Now, you may not agree with this or how God does things, and I don't know how much I'm here, but this is what the inmate said. The inmate told me soon after that he had had a dream. I think more his subconscious and the Holy Ghost was working on him, in which he heard Jesus saying, "I am the only true God." He asked me for a Bible. We have provided over 150 Bibles this year. After reading for 2 days, the former Muslim reported to me, "I have read about Jesus in the Bible, and now I know that Allah is not God, but Jesus truly is God. And I have repented and accepted Him as my Lord and Savior in my life." Well, as you can see, and more of a lesson, I guess, preacher this morning, but the gospel itself preaches the message. Think about the number of lives that have been changed. The number of lives. In Brazil alone, we now have 7 national missionaries. 7. We're the only prison ministry that we've ever come across in the state. And there's 500,000 prisoners in the country. We'll never reach them with 7 people. We need God to burden the churches for more volunteers. We need God to burden the churches and families to surrender to the work of God. All over this world are opportunities like these. And my thought today was, what a great door. A great door. I have no intention. I know my time's running tight. I have no intention, if God will give me strength, of slowing down at all. I see a new phase of area. God is using Judy and I more and more opportunities to help train and teach families. Something boils down in my soul. I can't help it, Brother Wood. I've got to go to that prison house. I try to go as much as I can. There's something about sitting across from that man or that young person or that lady who the adversary has destroyed their life. Be able to simply tell them, "I know a man. I know a Savior. I know someone that can change your life." Would you pray for Judy and I as often as you pray? Would you diligently pray, for we have a great door. God would raise up family to help us reach a world that needs salvation. Preacher, if you'd come.
Let us pray. Precious Father in heaven, we thank you so much for the Word of God that's been shared with us, with the burden that has been shared with us. Lord, the fields are white unto harvest, and there are laborers that are needed. I pray, Father, that we would have hearts that are desirous to see these folks saved, but not just desire, but to go ourselves and to carry the good news of Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for the ministry that the Dunsfords have. We thank you, Father, for the burden that you've placed upon them. And Lord, I pray that we might assist them in every way we can, and that we might give of ourselves to get the gospel out to those who are lost. There are thousands that are incarcerated, and yet our streets lined with houses with people that need the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that you'd give us a burden to look beyond ourselves, look beyond our ambitions and our desires and our plans, and get to work on what you've told us to do. I pray now your blessing upon the service to come, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.